morning, children. It's so good to see you here this Sabbath, and glad you could be up here and learn about Jesus at the children's story. Well, today I'd like to share a little story with you, but it has to do with, I'll get this out for you, with seeds. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed on the back of the seed packet, this is a seed packet, on the back of the seed packet, it says, it gives you information about seeds. And it tells you how long to let them grow, how far you should plant them into the dirt, and the spacing. And it also tells you, in this little spot here, it has a picture of the United States on it, and it tells you what month of the year you can plant these seeds. So our story today is about a little girl and a seed, and I'll tell you a little bit more about seeds. But first I want to read a verse about, or tell you a little story about Jesus. He was in, I think it's in Matthew or Mark 14, he was saying that the word of God is like seeds. A sower went out and spread the seeds. So we can compare the Bible, God's word, to seeds, can't we? And those seeds can take root in different places and different times and different seasons. In fact, there's a verse in 2 Timothy 4:2 that says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season." See, God's word can be out of season too. It doesn't even have to be in season. You can plant God's word anywhere you go. It can be in season or out of season. And convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Well, today's story's about a little girl. Her name is Katie. I'll show you a picture of her here. Well, Katie is in third grade. How many of you are in third grade? Anyone here in third grade? Okay, third grade. Well, Katie's in third grade, and one day she was at school, and her teacher decided to give all the children a little seed or a little seedling and to get it started. In fact, she gave her a cabbage seed to go home. They started it at school, and little Katie got her seed, and she was so fascinated. She planted it, and she tended it, and then it was time to take it home. And she planted it right behind their house in this little garden. And every day she'd go out and weed it and water it and give it the food it needed. And little Katie, every day she watched her cabbage grow. Then she'd go out the next day and watch it grow some more. Then she'd go the next day and watch it grow more until one day her mother came out and looked. And that little seed had grown into a cabbage that weighed 40 pounds. Now, does anyone here weigh 40 pounds? A lot of you weigh around 40 pounds. That would be like picking up a 40-pound child. And her mommy said, "Katie, wonder what we could do with this." Or Katie said that, "Mommy, wonder what we could do with this 40-pound cabbage. It's so hard to lift." And her mommy had an idea. There was a soup kitchen not too far from where they live, so Katie's mommy called the soup kitchen, and she got on the phone, and she called the soup kitchen, and they said, "You won't believe this, but we have a cabbage that we'd like to donate." And they thought, "A cabbage?" And she said, "Yes, it weighs 40 pounds. Could you use it?" Oh, and the runner of the soup kitchen was just so excited to get some cabbage for some people at their soup kitchen. So Katie donated her cabbage, and do you know, with that one cabbage, she helped feed over 275 people. So little Katie worked really hard in her garden. Here's a picture of her, and there's a picture of her holding her cabbage. So she worked really hard, and now her school even supported her in helping her farm a little garden and help support the soup kitchen near. And now, to this day, there are 83 gardens across America that help soup kitchens. And that just reminds you of God's Word. You know, God's Word is active and living. It's not just sitting here in the Bible, not ready to be used. But God says that He's taught us a word in season to share with other people. In fact, in Ecclesiastes, it says, let's find it here, what God wants us to do, our Father says in verse 11, or chapter 11, verse 6, He says, in the morning, sow your seed. That could be the word of God. And Katie was doing that. Her little seeds helped to go help other people. And that's what God wants us to do. And He says, in the morning, sow your seed. And in the evening, do not withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So don't hold back. Sow your seeds where you can sow them. Give to other people as you can. Give a smile or a handshake or help your parents at home. Those are seeds in God's garden, you know. And before long, you'll be helping over 200 people yourself. This one little girl helped over 275 people. So remember, Katie, as you think about this little story, and I have a little seed packet for you as well to give to each one of you so you can kind of remember Katie. And remember that God's Word, there is no season to God's Word. It could be in or out of season. Sow it in the morning. Sow it when you get up. And remember that these seeds are from this year too, so you might have to wait till next season to plant them. And the lady that I got them from, she said she bought some last year and she planted them this year and they came up fine. So maybe save those till the right season and plant them. But with God's Word, you don't have a season of planting. You can plant any time. Well, let's bow our head and thank the Lord. Dear Father, we just thank You that Your Word is alive and that we can take part in spreading Your Word across this world that needs You so much. And I just ask You to bless these children as they go out thinking about the Word in their hearts and the seeds they can plant for You, and bless their little efforts and that they'll see the fruit in the kingdom when we all gather there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Miss Paula will hand you out a seed, okay?
It is now our time for our call worship, so if anyone has a blue heart, like to come down and meet in the front, we have her. dear sovereign Lord, we praise you so much from the bottom of our hearts for allowing us to have life today. We praise your name and the fact that you've allowed us to come together as a congregation of believers who believe in you, that you are the Almighty, that we have the freedom to come to this place on your holy Sabbath day to worship you. And we just ask now that for the requests that are upon these cards, that you please answer each one according to your will, and that you give those that requested them a peace that they can believe and assure that you will answer them. Father, we also want to send a prayer up for Gavin, that you be with him, that you be with his family. In this special time of need, it's you're the only one that we truly can turn to for peace, for understanding. For each one that is here that has a burden upon their own heart, that they may not have come forth with a blue card, but Father, you know their petitions. The Holy Spirit has moved upon all of us. And we just pray that you continue that work with us so that we can truly become your people. And as we go through the rest of this worship service today, that you truly enlighten us. And we ask, Pastor, that you give him the words to speak from you, that this truly can be heard by each of the people, that it can be applied to our lives, not just that we be simply hearers of the word, but that we be doers of the word. Please be with each one, and it's in Christ's name, because he's one. And we pray all these things. Amen.
I would like to ask Shannon and her friend come up here. Many of you are familiar with this gentleman, and why don't you introduce yourself? Share with us what your name is and where you're from.
I'm Carl from Ottawa, Tennessee.
Yeah, Carl, you're from Tennessee. Come closer. I have a microphone, so I don't really need this one. And now, you come from Tennessee. How long have you been here?
Since June 26.
Okay. Now, this is what we refer to as the offering appeal, but we're talking about stewardship. And there are different kinds of stewardship related to money, related to time, related to gifts, abilities, etc. So I invited Carl to come up here because now you have been a Seventh-day Adventist for how many years? 30, 40?
I just started last year.
Oh, okay, you started. So you are already a baptized member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church?
No.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Okay. Well, so what are you doing up here?
Nervous.
I'm a friend of mine who's a Adventist, and she told me about the church, and I listened here and out there. But last year I was in Killeen, Texas, doing a job, and I said, why not? So I went to church after 55 years of not going, and I'm everywhere I go. Find a church to go to.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have you want to be baptized, I understand.
Yes.
Yes. Now, you don't know very much about the Bible?
No.
So, really, now I know you have been reading some books.
Yeah.
Okay. The Bible talks about how we should redeem our time. In fact, it says here in a scripture that I had just a moment ago. Here we go. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, you have been redeeming the time, is my understanding. That means that you have been spending a lot of time reading good books.
Yes.
Okay, so share with me, what is the last book you read? Apart from the Bible.
I'm finishing up The Great Controversy.
Okay, you're finishing up The Great Controversy. So, did you read some other books before that?
I started out with Desire of Ages.
Did you finish it?
Finished that.
Okay.
And then I went to
Patriarchs
and Prophets. And then
you never finished that one.
I finished that one.
Oh, you finished that one.
Finished Prophets and Kings.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So you don't know anything. Okay.
And Acts or
Acts of the Apostles.
Acts of the Apostles.
All right. So my friends, my faith church family, here you have an example of someone who don't know anything. And he has read all of those books. How many of you have read all of those books? How many of you have not read all of those books? Okay, praise God. Some of you have started. That's where we often end up. We start. But I hope you can finish. So you've been redeeming the time, and that's part of stewardship, to redeem the time and to grow closer to Jesus.
Yeah.
You feel that you've been growing closer to the Lord?
Yes.
Yes. And you made a decision. He's coming to prayer meeting. He's reading this Patriarchs and Prophets, etc., etc. I don't know how many of you can say the same thing. But I'm thankful for Carl. He's made his decision. And Shannon, you got to know Carl as well.
Yes, I have.
How?
Prayer meeting.
Prayer meeting?
Yeah.
There you go. And so you have started studying with Carl, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
What are you studying?
We're studying Thunder in the Holy Land.
You heard about that? Good. We're more than 20 groups starting soon, or some have already started. In fact, you've already started.
I have already started.
So Thunder in the Holy Land, Carl is one of the first students of that.
Yes.
There are others, but... pray for Carl as he prepares for baptism.
Yes.
And you're going back to Tennessee at the end of the month, aren't you?
Well, not quite sure. They may have a job for me in Williamsburg, Virginia.
All right. He's going back somewhere. And so we're going to put this into full gear because we want him to leave this place baptized,
yes,
a member of the body of Christ.
Yes.
And so we're going to pray for him, this man who doesn't know anything. May God bless you, Carl. Take care. God bless. We almost forgot the offering. It's so exciting. We want the offering today is for the church budget, and we invite you to participate in this act of worship as we collect funds for our church budget today. The deacons will not come forward. our loving Father. Thank you for the funds that have come in. I ask that you will bless them, that they will multiply, and that our church will function well as a result of every person here that is a good steward of their gifts, their talents, their time, and their funds. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and for the greatest gift of all, Jesus. Amen.
As you know, last Sabbath, or those of us who saw me last Sabbath, I could not, I could barely move. My back hurt so bad. And so on Sunday, I got a call. Linda called me in the morning. Minnie called me. Then Miss Josephine called me. And when she called me, she prayed with me. And she prayed that the Lord would heal my back. And immediately, the pain went away, and I haven't had any pain since.
Amen.
So prayer works, and prayer changes things.
Thank you, Jennifer. And now the choir will sing, "There is a Balm in Gilead."
It says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same house, office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness."
Daniel Webster was a statesman and a lawyer. He was a powerful orator, was known for his quick mind and for his way with words. Let me just move forward here. One day, Webster's father, who had to leave home for a while, he left Daniel and his brother Ezekiel a special work assignment, special work instructions. But when he returned home, he found that the task wasn't done. So he questioned his sons about their idleness. And he said, "What have you been doing, Ezekiel?" "Nothing, sir. Nothing." "Well, Daniel, what have you been doing?" "I've been helping Ezekiel, sir." You know, when Jesus returns in glory, he will ask us what we have been doing. Won't he? He will ask, "Have you been feeding my sheep?" He will ask me that question. He will ask us, "Have you been carrying one another's burdens?" He will ask you, "Did you feed me? Or did you give me a drink? Or did you visit me? Or otherwise, did you meet my needs when I came to you as a stranger?" And what will you answer him? Are you engaged in some kind of ministry for God? If you have given your life to Jesus, that is. Are you engaged in the church family? I read a shocking statistic in a Gallup survey which discovered that only 10% of American church members are active in any kind of ministry. Isn't that terrible? But what I think is even worse is that the Gallup survey said that 50% of church members are simply too apathetic to serve in any ministry at all. Now, that cannot be true here at Three Angels, can it? Apathetic, my friend, that's just one small letter away from pathetic. You know, here's God's call to every single Seventh-day Adventist Christian. Romans 12. Okay, this is not Romans 12. I think I had that early on here. There we go. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Okay. This isn't talking about dedicating our bodies in terms of living healthfully or in terms of abstaining from sexual immorality and so forth. That's not the first, that's not the priority here. Yes, those are very important things. But it's talking about dedicating our bodies, our mouths, our hands, our feet towards service, towards Christian service. That's what this text is talking about. about being fully alive for God, being vibrating Christians that are actually moving around doing good, living for our Savior. Now, finally we come to this one. It couldn't wait to come. It had to come up earlier. It's so important. But it says here, the real character of the church is measured not by the high profession she makes, not by the names enrolled upon the church book, but by what she is actually doing for the Master, by the number of her persevering, faithful workers. Personal interest and vigilant individual effort will accomplish more for the cause of Christ than can be done by sermons or creeds. So it looks like pastor sermons are highly overrated. If you come to church only to hear a sermon, you're getting a bum deal. You don't believe me? Well, look at this one. Listen to this. The people have had too much sermonizing, but have they been taught how to labor for those for whom Christ, have they been taught how to labor for those for whom Christ died? Has a line of labor been devised and placed before them in such a way that each has seen the necessity of taking part in the work? Both of these quotations are from a book called Christian Service by Ellen G. White. Do you know what happens to the church when we sermonize less and work more? Napoleon once pointed to a map of China, and he said, there lies a sleeping giant. If it ever wakes up, it will be unstoppable. So if I could copy Napoleon, I would say, our church, when it fully wakes up, when we all wake up, it will be unstoppable. There is simply no doubt in my mind that if all church members would wake up and be as active as Christ calls them to be, the church would be unstoppable, don't you think? Now you might say, why should I be interested in ministry? Why should I be interested in getting involved in service? And I'm glad you asked. But before I sum up a few select reasons, I would like to stop sermonizing. And I would like to invite three of you to come up to the podium. Mary McGrew, Jennifer Baker, and Aliona Cowden. I want to invite you to come up here. Because we're going to take you on a journey today to Spokane, Washington. And I have some questions to ask them because they went, well, maybe they can speak for themselves. We are going to, why don't you line up in the order that I will interview you right now? Okay. So, very good. Now, you have a video we'd like to show first. There's a short video clip that we're going to show first, and then I will proceed with the interview. Go ahead. If you think you've lost your hearing, you have not. So we don't have sound, so we may want to just...
Tuesday, Spokane Mayor David appreciation to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Major local media outlets also covered the event, sending multiple satellite trucks to spread the news of services offered. As a result, 3,111 patients received medical, dental, and vision care with services as varied as dental cleanings, same-day crowns, STD screenings, cardiology, pediatrics, mental health, radiology, vision care, and general surgery and orthopedic surgery, along with free haircuts, free medical massages, and free men's suits and wedding gowns, among many, many other services and areas. Both patients and volunteers share their experiences at the two-day event.
I left here yesterday after a full day of cutting and visiting and talking and hearing stories and sharing the love of Christ through my words and testimony, and I felt so overwhelmed and grateful for knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and for the people that don't know Him.
I feel like we have been really, really blessed by blessing.
I am so blessed to be there.
Now, you brought somebody with you, didn't you?
Yes.
Who?
Yes. Actually, it was a privilege and a blessing to be there again, once again, to be in Pathway to Health. But mostly, it was a double blessing because my friends here, Jennifer and Aliona, was able to join me.
And did you also bring Dana?
Yes, I also brought Dana. I would like Dana to come over here.
All right. So you brought Dana, even though that would cost even more.
Yes, Pastor.
Okay. Because you found it worthwhile.
Yes, I brought Dana because I want her to personally see how the medical missions work. Mm-hmm. And I want her to witness the joy and blessing of serving others. Mm-hmm. At her young age, this is the time for her to learn. Mm-hmm. And I'm praying that in the future, she will be one of the healthcare missionary as well.
You know, I read just this last week about a Christian family, an Adventist family. Their children are all in the church. And they said, we weren't that good parents. But they said, I saw these families that had really good kids and they had everything going for them at home. They had family worship, etc. But the kids are gone. Now, there could be many reasons for that, of course. But she said, we always brought our children to church and to be involved in service. And so the kids just didn't want to lose that kind of experience. And they stayed in the church. Right. So that could be important, couldn't it?
Yes, it is very important.
Okay. Yes. Now, Jennifer, what about you? Why did you go there?
Well, I'll start with the text. Psalms 34 has saved me out of many things. So Psalms 34, verse 4 and 5, it says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. I went through a very hard time, and I decided I would just go on mission work. So I was doing Maranatha trips. The first one I went on, I broke my ankle. The second one, it was in our backyard, so that was okay. I didn't get hurt there. But I decided when I saw all of this happening, when Mary and Nadine did their presentation, that I wanted to be a part of this mission trip. So the Lord blessed me enough that I save every year for a mission trip, but I wanted to take my daughter at the same time. And so this was our vacation working, and that's why I wanted to go, because I thought it would be something totally different outside of what I normally do. People that only if I were in a certain situation would I meet. And I just wanted to broaden my whole perspective on the world.
Okay.
And can I read what my daughter said? If we can go back and forth.
Sure.
Okay. Says, good morning and happy Sabbath. My name is Tamara, and I had the privilege to volunteer at Pathways to Help Spokane. I've been asked to share an experience with you, but in order to do that, I'll need to share some background information about me. This is why she went. Through some tough circumstances, I became a single parent. I wasn't supposed to cry. At the age of 21, I was clueless about how to be a parent, let alone do it myself. My son and I have been through some rough times, but I would not have made it this far without the help of my family, friends, and church members. Right on time, God sent me the help I needed. We've never been without a place to live, food to eat, or employment. I believe that when God blesses you with something, you may pay it forward to someone else. Yes. Pathways to Health is an excellent example of how I was able to do this. So that's why my daughter came.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Aliona, I'm going to ask you the same question. Why did you go there? And you have a kind of an interesting experience about how you went there, but why did you go?
Well, I've been praying for an opportunity to go on a mission trip, to be of service to the Lord. I didn't feel like I'm doing enough, and I thought I could help more and do more. So when Mary and Nadine came from San Antonio and did a presentation here, I was very excited about this project, and I thought, what a great idea. I imagined Jesus doing that, mingling with people, helping people, and I just wanted to be part of it, but I thought, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a medical professional, what am I going to do there? I don't know. But as I was contemplating and thinking about this and praising the Lord for the stories I heard, Mary approached me after the service and said, Aliona, how about you joining us next time? And I was, when is next time and where is it? And she said, well, it's going to be in Spokane. And I thought, well, that's a long, long ways from here, and I don't have medical experience. Well, she wouldn't give up. She said, well, they need a lot of general volunteers. They can use anybody who can be there and help. And you speak languages, so they could use you as a translator with Russian language. So I thought hard about it. I went home. I talked to my husband about it, and we got on our knees that day. We just got on our knees and prayed, and with Ben and Sean, and we said, Lord, if this is where you want us to be, we want to be there. Please help us, open a way, encourage us, help us know for sure that we need to prepare for this event, and the Lord did.
Okay, so you bought some plane tickets, and then you flew out there. Is that right?
I asked the Lord for help. Because I did not know where to start. I went online and opened the website and registered in faith. I did not have the money put aside like Jennifer had. And I said, Lord, it's a trip that we cannot afford, but if you can supply, we will be there. And a member of this church, a precious soul, made a donation towards our trip, and it was such a great encouragement because it was right away, and the Lord used this encouragement to help us make the plans and follow through.
So how did you get there? Did you walk?
Because I wanted to bring Ben and Sean along, just like Mary said, I want to introduce them to service and to be of service to other people and to the Lord. I wanted them to come along, and this would be even more costly. So we decided we're going to ride a bus because that's what we could afford. And if we had to live in a tent, we would have done that too. But we didn't have to live in a tent. The Lord blessed, and we stayed in a nice place, which is an experience in itself, how the Lord provided that. I prayed every step of the way, and I wrote my prayers down because I knew the Lord will answer in such a great way. I did not want to forget my prayers and see the answer to those prayers.
Okay, so that's a 17-hour bus trip. That's something that any mother looks forward to, travel with two kids, right? So you were having spent plenty of time.
Many people have warned me and said, what are you doing? That's not something you want to do. About the bus ride, but I put it before the Lord, and I thought the Lord will provide and will protect us. And we went through rough moments, and I had to pray. We had to switch 5 buses. One of them did not have air conditioning, and one of them, the longest trip that we took, 8 hours or more, I had to sit on half a seat because the other person occupied the 1.5, but I wasn't going to complain. I said, Lord, I'm on a mission trip. I'm going to pray to the person next to me and to the people around me and to all these people on the bus. And we were able to even give away glow tracks on that bus and have conversations with people. And we cried and prayed because at times we didn't know if we're going to sit together. There were no seats on the first bus. We had to switch, and they said, put your luggage in. And I did that, put my two big suitcases, and with our heavy backpacks, went to the back of the bus only to find that there were no seats. We had to come back and drag our luggage bag out and cry and pray. What are we doing, Lord, in the middle of the night in an empty parking lot? But the Lord is good. You know, he shows us his goodness. And I'm sharing these details that to show his mercy and goodness. He works everything for our own good. He works with our characters. He wants us to trust in him and not complain and not seek, you know, luxury and comfort. He provides. He's good.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. Jennifer. I'd like to ask you, when you once got there, what did you do there? I mean, what happened there?
Well, because I like to visit churches, because you guys know that I like to talk to people. I said, my daughter and I, we arrived there on Friday. And so when I got there, we went to church that Sabbath. And lo and behold, the pastor that was speaking there, his name was Valadi. I don't remember his last name. But his church is one of the churches. Say it again.
Yes,
okay. He's Ukraine. And so their church was one of those that was the follow-up group. And so I was really excited about that. But what I did when I got there is I was in hospitality. And I kind of fell into that because I was supposed to go in the children's department. And like Eliana, I said, Lord, I'm not complaining. I said, but I'm still on vacation. Can I please go work with the adults? Can I please be in hospitality? And please don't take that wrong, because my daughter was going, and she didn't want to do hospitality. So I said, Lord, work it out so that we can switch. Well, both of us ended with black shirts, which mine was supposed to be white and hers black, but it wasn't. So she looked at me. She goes, Mom, let's switch. So I was in hospitality, and what hospitality does is really whatever they want. And so I was at the front door. I worked closely with Mark Finley, which was really nice. New respect for him. I always respected him, but now I know him personally. And what I did was they would bring up would call me and ask if there's when the patient was ready to go to another department. I was for medical initially. And then I would take them to either to the desk or to the surgery or different places in the back. At one point, I was working real closely with a lady named Mildred. She saw me. She said she liked my smile, so she kept grabbing me, which was okay. And so the Lord put me in contact with this one gentleman. He was shaking so bad. And I looked at him. I put my arm around him, and I said, good morning. How are you? He goes, my name is Cedar. And I said, say it again. He said, it's cedar, like the tree. And I looked at him, and I could see the tears, and I could feel his body shaking. And he said, I am scared. And I said, you don't have to be scared. Can I pray for you? So in hospitality, we had so many opportunities to pray for people, which was the most beautiful part. And so I stood, and we stopped, and I prayed for him, and I asked the Lord to remove his fear, to help him through his surgery or through his dental. He was going to the dentist, and to help him be okay, to send a peace. And then he turned around, he prayed for me, and I just lost it. So we're both standing there crying, and I'm going, it's okay, it's okay. And so the chaplaincy service is where Rich was.
And Rich Constantinescu.
Yes. And so they had an awesome team. They were in every department. So one of the chaplains came up to me, and he says, I'll take him. And I looked at him, and I said, do not leave him. He is afraid, and he's shaking. And he says, well, I said, I'll stay with him. And he goes, no, I'll take him. So we were kind of fighting over him. But the young man, he went back. And Cedar was there the second day. And he's 21, and his mother and his grandmother had come the day before. And some of the people had to do that because the lines were so long. And so his mother was actually, she brought him through the line, but she left, and she's just trying to get his space in line. And so we were standing there, and at the end of his procedure, I was standing against the wall where the medical part is, and they brought him out on a stretcher to cardiology. And I just started crying. I said, what's wrong? What's wrong? Of course, they wouldn't tell me, and that was okay. But I couldn't find his mother either, so all I know is there were no fatalities, so I know he didn't die. But I know that he was better when he left. But I think I was more blessed and overjoyed with that. So, and then one more. Okay. My other one, okay, we have so many stories. The other story, I'll do Tamara's. And it says, I spent my time volunteering in the patient care department. A mother with three children under five asked me why I would come all the way from Arizona to volunteer. I shared with her my experience as a single parent, and I understood that we are, and I'm sorry, and how I understood that we put our children first, which leaves no time for ourselves. Every waking hour is immersed in child care, instruction, playing, working, cooking, cleaning, before you fall asleep exhausted. The best times were when someone gave me a hand and allowed me time to focus on myself. I was at Pathways to Health Spokane to do just that, give another exhausted parent time for themselves to recharge. We had her three boys with us for 6 hours that day. Periodically, she would come back, check on them, and I'd assured her they were fine and for her to take all the time she wanted. She was able to receive dental and medical care as well as have her hair cut, receive a chair massage, and watch cooking demonstrations.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm going to ask, Leona, why didn't you come back?
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. No, it's Mary. Sorry, Mary. I almost left it up. I'm going to ask you the same question. What did you do there?
Well, actually, I have a slide that I'm
all
going
right,
to show.
Go ahead.
And can you ask me the question after?
Yeah, I can do that.
I'm going to share you some pictures that I took.
There you go.
Yeah, this one was done in August 2-3 this year. I had a privilege of going there 2 days earlier, or maybe 3 days earlier than you guys. So I was able to join the team of Washington team, churches, and Idaho. It's 25 miles away from Idaho border. So I was able to join them to distribute the flyer for this event. I was very surprised how organized it is. And everywhere I go in the Spokane downtown, they already have flyers. So that tells me that our church members there are doing their job. I was very happy. And at the same time, I met a lot of skeptical people there that when you give the flyer, they will ask you, so what's the catch? Is this really free? So we were able to explain to them and introduce our church. And then the next day, I was able to join the medical sorting supplies. And I would like to personally say thank you to Dr. Brian for giving me a lot of, donating a lot of these medical supplies. I would like to let you know that every single of those medical supplies was put to use. I was also given some medical supplies from where I work. So, this is the place, it's the warehouse that turned later to become the makeshift hospital. There are thousands of boxes, thousands and thousands. And this is not only coming from a Seventh-day Adventist, it's coming from another faith. So we are so lucky and blessed to have all this, and this is very expensive stuff. So by doing this, next slide, please.
Here, you can do it here.
Oh, it's not there. Okay. And also, the day before the event, I was also able to participate building this makeshift hospital.
It took, you will be amazed, it took a few hours to build this huge place. And it also took a few hours to put it down, to tore it down. The power of unity, the power of Seventh-day Adventist forces here, and the Holy Spirit. Lisa, and like Aliona said, you know, before I left, there are many people here approaches me that they would like to participate, but they are not healthcare workers. I would like to show some picture that I will tell you, if you can walk and if you can talk, you are needed. You can go. We distribute men's suits and shoes. I don't have a picture. And this is the bridal gown and toys. So these are all, in fact, all these, next, is that, oh, go back, Pastor. All these volunteers here, the one that's seated, they were handicapped. They were in the wheelchair. I took their picture because I was so amazed. If these people can do something, we can too, right? Yeah, many people, I saw many handicapped people volunteer there, and they came from another state. So this medical massage, foot massage, hydrotherapy, you don't need to be a healthcare professional to do this. And these meals, people who is not a healthcare worker can go to the kitchen and help. And this meals actually is, they provided meals not only to us volunteers, which is more than 1,500. It's also for the public.
It was for anybody who was in the building.
Yes.
They gave it to the fairground workers.
So they really need help there. Haircuts, if you're a beautician, there you go. You can join. And this is my little testimony where I work, the area where I work. There are different areas, so I hardly see them when they were there. This is the very last, before we close. There was a woman who came by, and we are about to close. It's about 6 o'clock. We have to close at 4, actually, but they keep coming, so we keep accommodating them. This woman is from Marshall Island, and she painted. As soon as they took her blood, she just dropped down to the floor with no warning. And I was called immediately. And, you know, I work in this setting. I've seen this on a daily basis. I was not concerned. But then it took a long time for her to come back. And I don't know how the word get out. All medical professionals, especially the physician, came. And soon enough, the laboratory was circled around by the physician with white coats. But she's still not coming back. So the other physician came and said, "Have you guys prayed yet?" And so, no, not yet. So we circle around. There was a big circle, and she's on the center. And she has a little boy that's getting crazy. He thought that his mother died. So he's crying very loudly. So we circle around, and we hold hands, and we pray. We kneel down while she's laying down there unconscious. And so after we pray, We opened our eyes, and she was sitting there, crying. And she said, "Oh, you guys are angels. You were really all white coats, and I thought I was in heaven." So she was crying. And the next word that she said really touched my heart. She said, "You know, I'm not a Christian, and I never get involved with any Christian activity. But you guys treated me so good. You are an angel." And she's crying, and she said, "From now on, I would like to get involved with Christianity." And then right there, it was empowering. It's just, it touched us, and everybody was crying.
That was the experience she needed to get to that point.
Right.
Praise God. Praise God that it worked out.
That will be next.
Okay. Well, again, now that we have talked about how you got there and what happened there, The question I guess I would like to ask now is, what did you take from there?
All right, I haven't said my story. So yeah, about my story.
All right, go ahead.
Initially, when they assigned us to different departments, I was assigned to the children's department, but at the orientation, they asked the people who spoke other languages to register and leave the phone numbers in case they need help with translation. Then they would call us and invite us to the registration so we can help the patients out. And I ended up spending more time on the floor with the patients than in the children's department. There were quite a few people I met from Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Ukraine, my own country, Moldova, and Russia. So it was a blessing to be able to help in that regard. While I was our first day when we did the setup, we were happy to meet Dave and Clarissa Fiedler, which they were happy to see us. We were to see them, and they asked me not to forget to carry their love to you. So here it is, accepted from Dave and Clarissa. And Clarissa was in registration, so she knew that I was I spoke Russian, so she didn't have to call me. She would just come and get me. I was close to the registration, and anytime she needed somebody with the Russian translation, she would come and get me. So this is how I met this lady, Luba. She was from the Ukraine. She's been in the United States for a few years, but she doesn't speak English yet, and she had some kind of condition that she couldn't get any sleep at night. She just was in pain, and she couldn't rest, and she told me it was not worth living. She said, why live like this? I can't rest. I can't, you know, I can't function the next day. And I prayed in my mind that she might be able to get some help, and we went to, she wanted to see several physicians, but we would just go and see what the physician that was available first. So we went to this doctor, and she was able to explain her what was happening, her symptoms. And the doctor was very helpful. After he ran some tests on her and was able to see what was going on, he gave her some really good advice. And because it was getting late in the day, she wanted to come the next day, because people would wait in line for a long time, and then when they come there, it's already afternoon, and they can't see all the doctors they need. So she said, I'll be back next day. I'll come tomorrow. And I gave her my phone number, and I said, if you need me tomorrow, call me. I'll come right out and meet you here, and we'll start again. And Luba went home and did what the doctor suggested. She was some simple remedies that she could do at home, and she did that. And when she came the next day, she was so happy. She was full of energy and happy, and she brought her husband along, and she said, you wouldn't believe what happened. I went home. I did what the doctor said before bedtime. I did everything he said. He said, for the first time in a very long time, in years, I was able to sleep through the night. And we both praised God, and it was amazing to see the glow on her face. And she had the trust to go and see other doctors. She brought her husband along, who had some heart problems, needed to see the cardiologist. But this is not the whole story yet. The Lord had a divine appointment for this couple. After we saw the cardiologist, and they went to the lab and got their lab test, we went to... There was still a little time left, and they wanted to get a medical massage. And that's where we met Daniel, who gave them Mihailo was her husband. He gave Mihailo a medical massage and had prayer with him. And Mihailo was very impressed by this young man. And he, from our conversation before this point, I found out that they are members of the Pentecostal church, and Mihailo used to be a pastor in the Ukraine before he came to the United States. So after he received his massage, he was so impressed. He's never seen anything like this. He said, can my wife have the same thing by the same young man? Because there were other people, too, giving massages, but he wanted his wife to receive the same thing so she'd feel the same way. So Daniel was very gracious, and he took them to a more private area and encouraged them to drink plenty of water, asked them some questions about how much water they drink, and encouraged them to drink water, gave them each a bottle of water and said, drink it right now. And while his wife was receiving the massage, Mihailo was asking questions. He said, are you doing this for a living? Where is your office? Can we come to your office and we'll refer more people to you? And Daniel said, no, I don't do this for money. I do this for the glory of God. And so what do you do for a living? He said, well, I'm a pilot, but I don't do that for money either. I'm not a commercial pilot. I'm a mission pilot. So they were amazed to hear that and kept asking questions. He said, what faith are you? So that's where Daniel started. He said, I was born in a Catholic family. And when I grew older, I joined the Pentecostal church. I was a Pentecostal for 19 years. And then after 19 years, I became Seventh-day Adventist. And Mihailo said, what made you change? What made you switch like that? And he said, well, my brother became Seventh-day Adventist, and I took my Bible. I was going to prove him wrong about certain things. So I studied my Bible, and the Lord convicted me. The Holy Spirit convicted me. So I accepted the truth. So he's been a Seventh-day Adventist for a number of years now, and he's serving the Lord.
Wow, what a testimony. Thank you. Well, at this time, I'd like to ask each one of you just to give a short statement as to what your take-home is from this. So who would like to start? Yeah, okay.
I would like my... Well, you know, I had the privilege of going to San Antonio, Texas, too, last April. And I would say both of my experience was, yes, very exhausting. But it's all worth it. It's very rewarding, and it's a blessing. And the bottom line is, of course, Spokane is a lot smaller city with a 207,000 population versus San Antonio, Texas, which has roughly 1.5 million population. So I work a little less working in Spokane than in San Antonio. But the bottom line is the spiritual impact that I have in Spokane is still the same. It's still reflecting the gracious, compassionate, empathetic, and life-changing example of the great master physician, Jesus Christ. So before I leave, I would like to just read this one. I believe that we are living in the last days, and you and I have given two burdens. Number one is our need for a full understanding of medical missionary work and health reform as an integral part of mission to the cities, which is just happening in Spokane. And number two is our great need for selfless unity in Christ as we proclaim the three angels' messages. As we all know that medical mission is the right arm of gospel ministry. So I urge you, my brethren, to participate because we are living in the last days.
Oh, by the way, you know, Dana, where are you?
Oh, she's here.
Come up here, Dana, for a second. I know that there are reasons, you know, again, I asked, what is your take home? What are you taking with you home here? Well, isn't there benefit also for your daughter to experience this and come
yes,
to experience
yes,
service?
Definitely.
So, Dana, what did you do there?
Well, I wasn't old enough to be a volunteer, so I went to the children's program.
So they had children's program.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes.
And you were blessed by that?
What did you do?
Yes.
You like them?
We learned a lot of things, and
Well, that's good. Thank you. Okay, so you learned, you went to children's programs, and you did you participate in the programs?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. Well, you want to go back to another place later on, some other time?
Yes.
Your mother goes again? Okay, great. Well, thank you for sharing. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. And at this time, I'd like to ask Jennifer to come and share as well.
I just like went to say something. For the last time, I just want to invite you to join. The next Pathway to Health will be in Los Angeles this coming March. So if you are interested, you can register now. And it's not going to be very expensive. I have friends there that is elder in the church, and they are opening the church, and the members is opening their homes to welcome us if you would like to volunteer. So all we need to worry is the ticket going there.
All right.
Thank you.
Jennifer, come and share with what's your take home from this?
My take home, a couple of verses that I always shared with everyone when I spoke to them was still in Psalms 34, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. So I let them know that this may not be the end, and actually it wasn't. It's just the beginning on a pathway to health. Yeah, I did what the pastor does, play on words. And so they appreciated that. But my main thing that I learned is that there's always opportunities to have prayer. There's always opportunities to share your faith. But above all that, I learned to listen, because everybody has a story. And God wanted me to hear their stories. They didn't need advice. If they wanted, they asked for it. But I learned that everyone has a story, and we need to seek out those who look even totally innocent, that they have problems too. And what my daughter said that she learned, she said it was a big job caring for patients' children. At one time, we had 40 children ranging from ages 3 months to 12, of which 22 of them were 2 and under. Although tiring, it was rewarding to share Christ in this way. Children were there that were wards of the state, had protective orders from abusive homes, and just needed love. Some kids had never been in child care, and others would latch onto you wanting as much love as you would give. Christ allows us to experience things in our life for the benefit of ourselves, as well as a tool to share him with those that cross our path. I may not be a pastor or a teacher, but I'm a parent, and he's given me the gift of sharing his love. And I know that my daughter said the same thing. She's close to Phoenix, or close to Los Angeles. They're looking for 10,000 volunteers, ladies and gentlemen. They're looking to serve 30,000 people in Los Angeles. If you have the time, please go. I cannot, because my mission, I have learned, is my classroom while I'm here. My mission is the city of Wichita, as well as my church. But because of the time, I can't go. But please, can someone go in my place? Christ is asking. He says, who will I send? So please, some of you go.
And at the same time, my focus also would like to be on what can we do here?
Yes.
And what is our take home means, what can we do here in Wichita? What can we do here at Three Angels? How can we be involved in Christian ministry?
Okay.
And Aliona, I appreciate it. Why don't you share with us, as the last one, what's your take home?
I have a short story, if I can, real quick. I met this lady. She was not one of the patients initially. She was a worker at the fairgrounds. And she was from Russia. She saw my band that I had on my arm that said that I was a Russian interpreter. So she approached me, and she wanted to ask questions. She said, who are you people? Why are you doing this? Who pays all these doctors and all these resources? Where do they come from? And I said, we're volunteers. We're doing this for the glory of God. We want to help people. And she was in disbelief. She came the next day. I saw her as a patient. She went through. She was at the registration. She was crying. She was overwhelmed. So the Lord is working on people's hearts. And that place was a beehive. And when you see so many Adventist people working together under the influence of the Holy Spirit, things happen. So that was overwhelming to me to see so many people working in unity together to benefit others.
Thank you for sharing. I appreciate it.
Pastor, can I add, when you're talking about the reaping the harvest, from Spokane, they've had 200 baptisms already, but they have 800 Bible studies going.
Hmm. You see how medical missionary work brings results. And look at this quote behind me here, Christian Service, page 12. It says, the members of the church are not all called to labor in foreign lands. We're not all called to go to Spokane or to Los Angeles, even though there is a need for people to go there. But all have a part to act in the great work of giving light to the world. The gospel of Christ is aggressive and effusive. In the day of God, not one will be excused for having been shut up to his own selfish interest. There is work for every mind and for every hand. There is a variety of work adapted to different minds and varied capabilities. And that's, you know, here, right here where we are in this church. I don't know how many, what a percentage of church members are involved, but there are many members that are wearing more than one hat in this church that are very involved in ministry. And some of you may be wondering, how can I get involved? In fact, I've heard that question asked, how can I get involved? So there is work to be done. It's just a matter of being trained and being notified as to, yes, this is where we have a need. Here's another one, Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When you're giving your life to Jesus, he has works prepared for you. He has a life of service prepared for us and for me and for you, so that we can be engaged and use our bodies, hands, our feet, our mouths, for his service. And 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, God saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. And then also in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God is has called us for a special purpose. He set aside for ministry. And you may wonder, what can I do here? Here at the Three Angels Church, there are so many things that we would like to have more people engaged in order to alleviate the making the burdens lighter for others, so that we can get the mission, get the message out to Wichita, and not get bogged down in many people having more than one hat. And so we would like to let me give you some examples. We don't have a website up and running. It is up and running, but it's not really functioning well because there is no one to really run it. And, that's the first portal for people when they are looking for a church. They go to a website, and what do they find? They find a website that doesn't have a good webmaster, or somebody who can actually help keep it going. We need somebody to help with that. We have other things. Somebody said, we don't have blue cards in the pews. Where are the blue cards? We're running out of the blue cards. Well, this is one little thing that somebody can take hold of and say, hey, I want to do that. Or many other aspects of church life where, you know, like helping with the outdoors, keeping it neat and so forth. There's so many areas where we could actually be involved, where we could utilize every single one of the church members, as well as for those that are attending church and not even members yet, but want to be involved in ministry of some kind. By all means, we need you. God needs you to be involved in service, in Christian service. And so I'd like to, at this very end, we have gone way over time, but I'd like to say this. I'd like to invite all those who are leaders. If you are a leader in a church, that means also, and you may not like this, that you're also a trainer. You're also somebody that can train or that need to learn how to train, if you don't already know, others to lead with you or to help you in your ministry, to have an assistant that can take your place if you move, etc., etc. So I want to invite the leaders to come forward and just stand up here with me. And if you're a leader in a church of any department or any kind of ministry, if you consider yourself a leader or if others consider you a leader, please come forward and stand right in front here at this time. Here you see the leaders. Any one of you, if you have any kind of leadership role in the church, please come forward. My friends, these are representing various ministries, and we will have an exhibit out in the foyer that deals with various ministries that we have in the church where we need people to come in and help with different things. You can approach any one of these or me and say, you know what, I want to get involved in some way or another. Help me out. How can I be trained in this or in that? And we will be able to help you with that. Now, you will hear more about this. Did you want to add something to this, Jean? Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that, you know, sometimes it seems like to get something done, it's just faster to do it yourself, right? How many of you have ever felt that way, especially those of you that have had small children? However, did Jesus spend his 3.5 years here on earth just being efficient and doing things by himself, or did he prayerfully choose 12 disciples that he spent time with and he trained them? So all of us, all of the leaders up here, and I see some leaders who haven't come up, you need to take responsibility for training and discipling. And I know it takes patience, but pray and God will give you. And like the Bible says, the things which I have committed to you, these commit to others who are able to teach others also. When you disciple and train, you train them to train. And this is how our church can become the beehive that Aliona was saying out in Spokane. It was a beehive. Our church can be like that here. And I think it's awesome that we're sending out missionaries to Los Angeles, to Spokane, to San Antonio. We also have Wichita as our mission field.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. And I want to invite all of you who would like to commit to being involved in areas that you have not yet been involved in. It could be a small thing. Maybe you only have a little time, and there's one or two small responsibilities that can alleviate the burdens on others, whatever it is. I would like to invite you to stand as we sing our closing song, and then I would like to have a prayer for all of us as we stand here together. Let us sing our closing hymn right now.
375, work for the night is coming.
Come forward during the song, or just remain standing where you are, but just prayerfully ask God to show you in what areas you can be involved and commit to that. Father, you have asked us to work. You have works prepared for us. We want to tap into those works, Father, that you have prepared for us. I pray that you will help each one here to not only recognize that they have a gift, but that they will know what gift that is. And I pray, Father, that each one here will be able to help in some way or another to further your kingdom here in Wichita. I'm so thankful for our leaders who come forward to be trainers for those that would like to know how to do this or that in various areas of ministry. I'm thankful for those that have been called to be leaders for Thunder in the Holy Land groups that have not come up here for the outreach of this church. And I'm thankful for all the others, Father, that have stood up and said to you in their hearts, I want to be involved. I want to help carry the burdens of the church. I want to be learning. Father, thank you for your Spirit who impresses us to do your will, to go where you lead. And may you and I be with each one of us as we continue our walk together as a church family and as families. Help us to be faithful because you are faithful. Thank you, Father, for your loving kindness, for your salvation in Jesus Christ, which is not based upon what we do. But, Father, thank you for the Spirit that we receive in our hearts, evidence of our salvation that gives us a desire to do, that gives us a desire to be involved in Christian ministry. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.